Their final head count came to 49. Harris had had to accept a couple of Bunny's militia and two crew from his personal yacht to satisfy the Crown Minister that the Prince would be traveling safely. When the Sweet Delight eased away from the peculiar, eye-twisting space station, it had its holds stuffed with supplies enough for a year-long voyage. Harris had had plenty of time to complete her list for Brunn while waiting for the last luxuries to be ferried up from Cerealis. Once the ship was on its way out of the system, Harris released the Prince from his suite. She expected a tantrum, but the young man smiled at her and asked the way to the gym. Harris wondered why he hadn't looked it up on his desk comp, but perhaps princes didn't ever look things up for themselves. Dinner that first night surpassed anything Lady Cecilia's cook had produced on the voyage out. Cecilia wore her amber and ivory lace. Ronnie and the Prince both appeared in semi-formal dress. Harris had to admit they were handsome, as decorative as young roosters. She preferred Ronnie, whose recent adventures seemed to have settled him a bit. The Prince, she had not really been around him in the days of his captivity, and his brief appearance at the Hunt dinner had given her no feel for his real personality. Now, at the dinner table, he looked the very picture of a prince, and yet she felt something missing. Aside from a hectic energy that emerged as one stale joke after another, the prince was, to put it plainly, boring. 4 days into the voyage back to Rockhouse, Ronnie asked for a private conversation with Harris and Cecilia. He looked earnest and worried.
Did you know the prince was stupid?
You are not going to start quarreling with him. I forbid it.
I'm not quarreling. It's not like that. But I just realized, he's really stupid.
Perhaps you would care to explain that discourteous comment?
Ronnie settled into his chair, leaning forward, hands clasped tensely.
Well, that's why I'm here. I think something's wrong. We have to do something.
That is not an explanation. Please get to it.
Yes, all right. We haven't been in the same classes or anything for years, or I'm sure I'd have noticed. He's just not very smart.
Harris repressed a smile. She had never expected royalty to be overburdened with brains.
Probably he never was very smart. Children can't really tell about each other.
No, he was smart. He was. And now he's not. If I didn't know it was Gerald, I wouldn't believe it was the same person.
Cecilia sat up suddenly.
If you didn't know, how do you know it's the same person?
Well, of course it is. How could it be anyone else? He's too well known.
Now he is. But a child?
Gene types. It would be impossible to switch someone else. Surely he has annual physicals, and it could be checked so easily.
That's right. He's a registered embryo. And that's odd, too. Registered embryos are at least one sig above average IQ.
Harris looked at him. He turned red.
All right, we don't all act it. But we have the brains if we learn to use them. Gerald wasn't stupid in childhood, and he's near that now. Something's happened to him.
Harris had an unpleasant crawling sensation in her midsection. Something to make princes stupid. It had been done before, and never with good intent.
Someone must have noticed.
Some people wouldn't notice on principle. But his parents, surely. The king wasn't that dim the last time I chatted with him.
10 or 12 years ago, Gerald was just starting school outside the home for the first time. What if something happened there? Something that took a while to show up? We were only together for 3 or 4 years. Then they shifted him to Snow Bay, and I stayed at Fallow Hill.
The names meant nothing to Harris, but Cecilia nodded.
Or it could have started at Snow Bay. I remember there was some concern about sending him so far away to such a strict headmaster. But Nadril had gotten in all that trouble.
Harris blinked again. She knew, it had been her business to know, the names of the various members of the royal family. But she wasn't used to anyone calling them by first names. Nadril, the second son, had died when he eluded his security protection and got himself into a brawl with someone who didn't worry about the niceties of aristocratic dueling. Before that, he had been considerably wilder than the current prince. Ronnie looked at his hands.
I hadn't realized. I feel bad about it. It's sort of indecent. I mean, our quarrel when he's not like he was. Like the time George had that virus or whatever and nearly flunked everything for a month. We started out teasing him, but it wasn't funny.
It's indecent that it happened, if you're right. The quarrel's beside the point, although I expect it influenced him.
Harris fought her way through Cecilia's logic in that, and by the time she had figured it out, both aunt and nephew were off on another tangent. Whom to tell, and how, and when.
Better not tell anyone. It's dangerous knowledge.
But I must. He's the only surviving prince. If his father doesn't know...
Then someone doesn't want him to know. Someone who will be glad to eliminate you. His father probably does know, after all, and I doubt very much he wants it widely recognized or talked about.
I'm not a gossip. Everyone knows that. It's not something I can ignore. If I do, and he knows, then he'll suspect... It will be worse than telling him.
But it's dangerous.
Harris's mind tickled her with something Ronnie had just said about George. George had had a month of being stupid? A virus? Or the same thing that affected the prince?
They need to know. Even if it's dangerous, it's more dangerous to have him like this unrecognized. Dangerous to everyone, not just to me. It can't be hidden much longer anyway. He's getting to an age where he'll be expected to take on some crown functions. The longer it's known, the sooner we can change our plans and adjust. If it's permanent, for instance, he can't take the throne later. Then there's the rejuvenant ageist split. This could change the balance in council.
But it'll be terribly embarrassing, Aunt Cecilia. Maybe Captain Serrano is right.
But Harris could tell from the stubborn set of Cecilia's jaw that they weren't getting anywhere. Maybe later. They were still a long way from Rock House. She could talk to Ronnie about George's experience in private. The ship itself functioned smoothly. Sirkin had looked startled the first time she heard Oblo say, "Aye, sir," to Harris, but she soon got used to the preponderance of military backgrounds. Harris thought it improved the tone a lot. It seemed a comfortable compromise between military formality and civilian casualness. Bunny's yacht crew, efficient enough, held themselves slightly aloof from Lady Cecilia's. She didn't mind, since they'd be going back to Bunny's from Rock House. Her relationship with Petrus, however, seemed as uneven as the fox-hunting fields. She had understood the prohibition of relationships between commanders and their subordinates as preventing both sexual harassment of subordinates and favoritism. It had not occurred to her that there was any intrinsic problem with the relationship if both desired it. They had expected a pleasant evening in bed, and instead found themselves less interested in bed than talk.
I don't know. It's not the past, really. I've been crazy about you for a long time, and once I found a way... But on this ship...
It's the teal and lavender.
No, it's... How can I say this and not sound like a barbarian? It's the authority. Here, you're in charge. You have to be. And when we were back on that island, you weren't. You were hurting, and I could help. I had the choices to make.
An authority block.
I suppose. Except I've never resented your authority, you know. Not with the ship. It never has bothered me who captained a ship so long as they were good at it. I knew early on I never would. Didn't really want to.
Didn't you?
No. Not all enlisted are lusting for command, you know. Commanders, maybe, but not command itself. It's damn scary. I can see that in your eyes. Maybe I feel that way here. It's scary because I'm stepping out of my role with the commander. It didn't bother me off the ship.
And it's not something I can command. Some do, I can't. How about we pretend this isn't the ship?
I'll try.
It seemed to be working.
Captain Serrano, there's something on the screen.
Oh, damn.
Harris lunged across Petrus to answer it.